A Sterner War, March 30th, 1940, a world broadcast from London.
It seems rather hard when spring is caressing the land and when, after the rigors of winter, our fields and woodlands are reviving, that all our thoughts must be turned and bent upon sterner war. When I spoke to you 6 months ago, I said that if we reached the spring without any great event occurring, we should in fact have gained an important success. I still feel that this additional period of preparation has been an invaluable help to the Allies. Peaceful parliamentary nations have more difficulty in transforming themselves into vast war-making organisms than dictator states who glorify war and feed their youth on dreams of conquest. The British Empire and the French Republic are now joined together in indissoluble union so that their full purposes may be accomplished. An immense progress has been made in almost every direction, in strengthening our forces, in improving our defenses, and in adapting our whole economy and way of life to the service of the common cause. Up to the present, time has been on our side, but time is a changeable ally. He may be with you in one period and against you in another. And then if you come through that other, he may return again, more faithful than before. It seems to me, taking a general view, that an intensification of the struggle is to be expected. And we are certainly by no means inclined to shrink from it. People often ask me, will the war be long or short? It might have been a very short war. Perhaps indeed there might have been no war if all the neutral states who share our convictions upon fundamental matters and who openly or secretly sympathize with us had stood together at one signal and in one line. We did not count on this. We did not expect it. And therefore, we are not disappointed or dismayed. We trust in God and in our own arm uplifted in a cause which we devoutly feel carries with it the larger hopes and harmonies of mankind. But the fact that many of the smaller states of Europe are terrorized by Nazi violence and brutality into supplying Germany with the materials of modern war, this fact may condemn the whole world to a prolonged ordeal with grievous, unmeasured consequences. Therefore, I cannot assure you that the war will be short, and still less that it will be easy. It is, I think, our duty.
Later in this speech, he said,
although the fate of Poland stares everyone in the face, there are thoughtless, dilettanti, or purblind worldlings who sometimes ask us, what is it that Britain and France are fighting for? To this I make the answer. If we left off fighting, you would soon find out. We shall follow this war wherever it leads us. But we have no wish to broaden the area of conflict. At the outbreak, 7 months ago, We didn't know that Italy would not be our enemy. We were not sure that Japan would not be our enemy. Many people, on the other hand, had hopes that Russia would re-enter the Committee of Nations and help to shield working folk all over the world from Nazi aggression. But none of these things, bad or good, has happened. We have no quarrel with the Italian or Japanese people. We have tried, and we shall try, our best to live on good terms with them. All's quiet upon the Western Front. And today, this Saturday, so far, nothing has happened on the sea or in the air. But more than 1 million German soldiers, including all their active divisions and armored divisions, are drawn up, ready to attack at a few hours' notice, all along the frontiers of Luxembourg, of Belgium, and of Holland. At any moment, these neutral countries may be subjected to an avalanche of steel and fire, and the decision rests in the hands of a haunted, morbid being who, to their eternal shame, the German peoples, in their bewilderment, have worshipped as a god. That is the situation of Europe tonight. And can anyone wonder that we are determined to bring such a hideous state of alarm and menace to an end? And to bring it to an end as soon as may be, and to bring it to an end once and for all? Few there are tonight who, looking back on these last 7 months, would doubt that the British and French peoples were right to draw the sword of justice and of retribution. Fewer still there are who would wish to sheathe it till its somber, righteous work is done.